This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Billy Jack, of course, a podcast series where we discuss some of the greatest wrestling matches of all time through the eyes of a non-wrestling fan. My name is Drew, and with me, of course, is Jordan Darby.
Hello.
Eating some Twizzlers.
It's William Jack.
William Jack.
Yeah, I'm an expert now.
Okay. Well, I've sent you the audio footage, or the audio...
Yeah. I know a little too much about that guy's personal life.
Yeah. So anyways, you've got some Twizzlers this evening.
Yeah, stale Twizzlers from Circle K.
So I don't have much room to talk. Because I drink Coca-Cola, you know, nonstop.
Bless it.
But... Twizzlers, that's pretty gnarly to be eating Twizzlers as an adult.
It's like this will survive right alongside the Twinkie. This will taste, how I'm eating it right now, would taste the same under any conditions.
Yeah.
And don't you yourself appreciate and preach consistency?
I do.
I could eat a Twizzler at any point in time.
Yeah.
Someone in the 80s was eating one just like this, and it tasted the exact same.
That's absolutely true. The thing is like, when I was, like, 5, those were, like, too much for me.
Sketchy.
Yeah. Like.
Yeah. I don't know. They're indefensible. They're...
I'm not asking you to defend them, and no judgment.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I prefer Red Vines.
Yeah.
But this is what they had, and...
Do you like a nicer licorice?
I think there isn't a really a licorice I've never met a licorice I don't like.
Do you like it with the sour stuff on it?
Yeah.
Better or worse than...
No, I think I just... Licorice is licorice.
Yeah.
That's probably how I look at it.
Do you like black at all? Black licorice?
I can get down. It's kind of funny. I really like Good and Plenty's.
Yeah.
Which is like, it's just in like a candy form.
Yeah.
But for some reason, like, that's how I like to eat.
Yeah.
Eat it.
Yeah.
I mean, as opposed to like a straight stick.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's fine, because it's like a little sweeter and it's a little more manageable.
Yeah, and you can kind of, yeah, exactly. You can take it on your own terms.
Did you ever have in your European travels, did you ever have the salted black licorice?
No.
Like the discs?
No, I know what you're talking about.
Zout, I think it's called.
Yeah, I didn't go there.
Oh, man.
Do you like black licorice?
I don't, no.
Oh.
But so, that, no. But that guy...
Like, so is it gross that we're talking about this?
I mean, it's whatever. But that guy that lived in my dorm room in the closet and made DMT. Is he
the one that you said, get your feet off my pillow?
No, that was a different guy. Okay. Yeah. Oh, man. I was probably so mean to those people.
Well, that was you walking. I mean, anyone, you walk into your living space and there's someone with their like bare feet. They're like lounging on your bed, and their bare feet are just kicking around on your pillow.
Yeah,
that's not you.
That's not me. But Lord knows, I did not make many lasting relationships.
There were a lot of short leashes there, I think.
Yeah, but anyways, that guy used to pound the double Zout salt.
That's black licorice. That's heavy. That's pretty heavy.
Just pound. Oh man, crazy.
Yeah.
All right, enough messing around here.
So that's it. If you tune in,
thank you for listening. You can follow me on Twitter. Yeah. So the match we've got today, this is one of the heavier hitters in the general wrestling world, I think. So the match we're talking about today, Bret Hart versus Stone Cold Steve Austin. Bret the Hitman Hart, of course.
Okay.
No holds barred submission match. 3/23/1997 is the date from the WWF, WrestleMania 13.
Okay. And is he the one who died jumping off something really high?
No, that was his brother. Ah, his okay. brother, Owen Hart.
Owen Hart.
A couple years after this. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, very crazy. So, just to reset, of course, if there's anyone new listening, what we do here, it's a live watch show. I'm a longtime wrestling fan. Jordan is not. And we watch a match together. Jordan and I are good friends, so we watch a match together, and we kind of talk about the match as it happens, and we want to hear Jordan's thoughts watching, you know, what are supposed to be some of the greatest matches of all time, what he thinks of those matches.
And sometimes we do go off on tangents, but sometimes, though, even if it seems unrelated, it usually has some weird connection.
Yeah.
If we're talking about things outside of wrestling.
Yeah.
I guess it's just whatever comes to mind, really.
Yeah. Yeah. And really quick, something I've been meaning to ask you. We're going to get started in just a second. But Annihilation Time 2, do you own that
no, record? No, not anymore.
You know, me neither.
But that's kind of on me, though. Like,
same.
You know, yeah. That's not like, oh, I'm done with that.
No,
like,
no.
That's an awesome, perfect record.
Perfect record.
Yeah.
I've been looking for a CD again.
So that's,
if you come across one, let me know. I think actually, because they put it out on a partial discography CD with like the Cosmic Unconscious 7-inch and the Bad Reputation.
That's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I used to have it. I think I gave it to John actually. So I think John has my copy. But I've been kind of looking for it.
Yeah, that's an awesome record.
Yes. Yeah.
Hey, what's a slam riff? Or like, what's slam metal? What's slam riffing?
Like Wigger Slam?
I don't know.
I mean, what is that in reference to?
Like, oh, this band's just got like really brutal blast beats and they have some slam riffs and
so like you've never heard the term Wigger Slam before?
That's really gnarly. No, I am not.
So
it sounds like a very hateful term.
I mean, I think it's like only like Midwest people play that kind of music.
Okay.
But so I am very unfamiliar with it for the most part. But it's like excuse my ignorance, and I may be wrong on this.
Okay.
But I think it's like Midwest, like bros trying to play death metal, but it's like beat down.
That's kind of cool.
Type music. Theoretically,
I mean, I love that theory.
I theoretically it is, but I think it's like, super triggered drums. Like the real triggered double bass.
Yeah.
And the blast beats are real like obnoxious.
Sure.
And so everything about it doesn't quite work. And it's kind of like, I think it's the worst aspects of what that potentially could be.
Yeah, because I'm sign me up on that, on the initial description.
Right, yeah. I mean, but like, and I think like the logos are really, you know, the crazy death metal logos. Yeah. And I think it's, so again, I might be wrong on this, but I think it's real like, misogynistic and stuff. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I'd like to explore this further because I mean, so I've heard of this genre recently. It's called deathcore.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm so lucky to be outside of all that world because nothing about any tenets of what heavy metal is or should be applied to me.
Yeah.
So I just want to hear the most aggressive, gnarly sounding thing possible.
Oh, and you've landed on deathcore?
Yeah.
Man, like what bands?
There's this band called, what are they called? Impending Doom.
Yeah.
Yeah, like their first record is awesome.
This is crazy.
Yeah, it's because it's just, it's Riverside people.
Yeah.
That love metalcore and breakdowns.
Yeah.
Playing death metal.
Oh.
That's so cool.
So I think it's like, that's kind of the same thing then.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it.
Man, this is pretty huge.
Yeah, so we don't want to eat up too much time here, but yeah.
Well, keep us posted, please.
Yeah. I mean, I can see why any purists and people that like heavy metal would think it's so stupid, but
it's like bangs to the right metalcore people.
I don't know. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
So and I don't care. Like, yeah. Because I just want to hear the guy sound. I want to hear him squeal like a pig. And I want to hear really heavy breakdowns and them playing as fast as they can.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter to me outside of, like, I don't need to know that the guy, you know, likes this kind of music or wears this kind of jean jacket or whatever. That doesn't matter.
Hmm.
Yeah, so
Man.
Now I haven't heard much outside of this band and even that band. I've only heard the first record, and I didn't hear anything in that record that was like oh, I mean, now I've heard very little death metal in general.
Yeah.
But like, there wasn't a whole lot that was like, that's out of place. So I don't know if they go like, I don't know how far they go, because this was like over 10 years ago, and they're still a band.
Yeah.
So they, I mean, I don't know what the genre consists of.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's really hokey and lame, but it's like, and I love that it's like, it sounds like it originated in Riverside, which is like, that's perfect, dude.
Yeah,
It's so perfect.
That's
and these
crazy.
Big meathead, like, you know what I mean? Like, I love it, dude. I love that idea. So, so I don't know. I haven't heard really much outside of that.
Crazy. So. That's crazy. Wow. Yeah. I've never heard that band.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to be able to fairly, like, assess it.
No. But I think even if I were to try, like, I think you could probably pick it apart pretty easily.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But, yeah.
Yeah, so, but, I mean, like, if you listen to the, I mean, I don't think you should, because you're only going to have negativity if you listen to that band.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, if you were to, if you listen to that first record, it's just, I don't know how to describe it other than it's just extremely aggressive music.
So even like, you prefer that over like the brutal death metal stuff like that Daniel puts out?
I think it's like adding those like ignorant bro breakdowns to that.
It gives you something to
it's heavier and more extreme.
Huh.
Like, it gets so washed out when all these guys are playing is like a blast beat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the guy's only doing the pig sound.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome. I mean, I think that stuff's, I was really attracted to that genre.
I know you were.
Because it was like, slam everything to the front, you know, like, take everything to the extreme. So, I mean, yeah, I think, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I just think that it's weird. It's like, I know this genre is so stupid and, like, so lame, but it's refreshing coming at it, like, with no, I have no allegiance, like, to anything, because I don't know anything about anything there, so it's like, I don't know who makes it, and I don't know why they're lame, and it's like, yeah, I can tell, like, okay, they are piecing together these things or whatever, but if you take it as, like, extreme music, again, the one thing I've heard, I don't know it as a genre. I don't know. Because I don't know if they get into, like, singing or rapping. I don't know. I don't know what happens later. I'm led to believe this is more straightforward, closer to, like, death metal, but I don't know. Yeah, so, yeah, it's cool.
Is it?
Yeah, it's cool.
Is it cool?
I mean, there's no reason why it wouldn't be other than, like, aesthetic hang-ups, and I don't have those.
No, I mean...
Like, if you're looking for something that's powerful and extreme, like, I don't think it's any, like, less than some brutal death metal band.
I see, that's where I would disagree. Because, like, right off the bat, I can tell you 100% the vocals are not there. 100%. I know exactly what the vocals are going to sound like, and they're a bad version of death metal vocals.
Yeah, but if it's you're talking an aesthetic point, like, if the guy doesn't sing in a certain range, it's like, if it's, I'm looking for just something guttural and aggressive.
Yeah, but I think the thing is, though, is if you know what to listen for, you can tell that it's not aggressive. You know what I mean? Like, you can tell, it's really easy to tell, like, something I always say about death metal is you can't fake the vocals.
Yeah.
Because you can see through that so easily. So it's like, if you know what to listen for, you can really easily tell that the guy recorded really softly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then they just turned it up, you know? Mm-hmm. And we know people that do that on records.
For sure, yeah.
And it, like, we know, you know, how it sounds or whatever. That's, like, that's one thing. I guarantee.
Yeah, I mean, you could be right, I'm sure.
This is a big, this is a big thing here.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, though, that you probably, like, I don't know how many other arguments you'd have, but I think a lot of it comes just with preconceptions.
I mean,
that's what music is. Like,
yeah.
You can't tell me that it's going to be, like, less heavy than something else, because that's not an objective measurement.
Heaviness?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you feel heaviness, like, it's subjective.
Yeah, but that's, that I don't know, I think that kind of works against it, though.
I mean...
Because it's, like, it's total, like, again, this is only, like, I've been listening to heavy metal music for a very long time.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
So, like, I've never heard that band, but I...
Yeah, you're not going to offend me with anything you say. But you'll make any claim you want, that's fine.
Yeah,
it's right, I'm sure it's right.
But it's like, so, like, it's, if it's recorded, well, I don't know, like you said, heaviness is objective, subjective.
Yeah.
So, if it's heavy in sound without any emotion behind it, is that really heavy?
I mean, you're talking to something you don't know, though, about this band.
I feel
an emotion, like, when I hear them.
Yeah.
Like, so, I think you might be into something that, I mean, you would just have to see that for yourself.
Yeah.
So, that's part of what was attractive to me when I heard them.
Mm-hmm. Well, but this is like the whole thing that I talk about is like hardcore guys or like metalcore guys trying to play, like, they're trying to go into heavy metal.
Sure.
Genres that they don't belong in. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, you can't fake being a heavy metal lifer.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know. This is
disturbing to you.
Yes, but it's also the idea of, like, you know, people down tune to make things heavier,
mm-hmm.
which is like such a cop out.
Oh well, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, because you can listen to it like, dude, that's heavy. It's down tuned.
Sure,
like,
yeah.
That's way heavier, but it's not at all. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, yeah. It can be or cannot be.
Yeah. Well. Show's over for real now.
Partnership dissolved.
Yeah. This is something.
Follow my muse, man. I just follow my muse. It's in Riverside right now.
No kidding. You in Riverside.
River town. I'm that farmer boy.
Yeah, they don't even have the stupid chili bread bowl anymore.
They don't?
No. Remember, that was the whole thing. Oh, that's right, yeah. We were in the desert that time.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, anyways, so we're watching this. So this is like a real famous match. Very, very famous. Maybe the most famous one that we're going to watch.
Hmm.
In terms of like general wrestling population. It came right as the WWF is really heating up. As the promotion that it would become, you know.
Hmm.
The Attitude Era and all that stuff. So, yeah, I mean... just a reminder, we will be doing a live watch of the match, discussing anything that comes up along the way, and afterwards I'll ask you a series of questions that we've standardized and we've gone over several times before. We are watching on the WWE Network. We are at... Oh.
Thought I...
Hold on, I gotta pull up this stupid thing. It's not... 18:40. We're gonna start it at 18:39.
An hour 18:30, right?
Yeah, 1 hour 18:39. We're gonna start it in 3, 2, 1, play.
Imagine for over a decade, you fought to reach the pinnacle of your profession through sweat and dedication. You earned the respect.
So I'm not gonna talk very much, so you can hear this and watch the video. You know who Stone Cold is.
Yeah, yes. I do like him.
He is gaining fame by attacking you physically and verbally.
And you know who Bret Hart is as well.
Yeah, like I'm less familiar with him. Like I wouldn't have been able to pick him out of the lineup, but
you've heard the name.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, the finger is pointed at you. You're the one who's changed. He's snapping, man. He's lost it. Get him out of here. Drag him out. Jump out. Jump out. Pull out my finger. Black light. That's a dirty rotten stuff.
Ooh, all right.
Okay, that was a pretty intense promo.
Yeah. So, what is your...
There's a lot of people there.
Yeah. Ken Shamrock, do you know who that is?
I've heard that name, okay. But...
So, he's
so, he's going to ref?
Yeah. So, he was real famous in early MMA. Okay. Early UFC.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Okay, that's right. Okay.
Yeah, and he goes on to join the WWF for a bit.
Okay.
So, Vince McMahon is doing commentary.
Okay.
Who we've heard before on the... So, this is a WrestleMania. The other match, the other WWF match was a WrestleMania as well.
Okay.
So, you know.
Does he still do the commentary?
Unfortunately not. I love Vince McMahon on commentary. Oh, look at that.
Whoa, that was cool.
So we just saw the famous glass, Austin 316 glass breaking.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah. So, what's your interpretation of this going on now? Because now we're you know, firmly in like a more modern era.
Yeah. Well, the fans are different.
Uh-huh.
It seems more like an everyman crowd.
As opposed to...
I mean, it just felt like wrestling fans before in the other matches. Like, just people there to see, like, an event.
Uh-huh.
This just seems like... they just want to see something.
Yeah, okay.
You know, this is just what I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really remember signs in many of the other ones, and there's a lot of signs here.
Yes. Which was a hallmark of the era.
Okay.
Tons and tons and tons of signs.
Like, do they still do a lot of signs?
Yeah, not as many. A lot, but, I mean, in that, like, you know, a year from now, when the shows would open, it would just be, like, solid
wall-to-wall signs.
Yeah.
So... they also, like, really lay this out for you.
Yes.
I mean, like, the other matches that we've watched, I mean, did any of those have a promo or anything that we didn't get to see? That would do something like we just saw?
Well, the other WrestleMania match did. I don't know if you remember that or not.
I do, yeah.
It wasn't as... emotional, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah.
Or nuanced. I don't know. It was pretty like, okay, this is what happened on the during this match.
Yeah, yeah.
This is what happened next, then this and this. This is, you know, real melodramatic.
Yeah, this is like firing you up, and it's also setting the stage for like who the hero and the villains are.
So who's the hero, who's the villain?
So Hart is the hero. He's trying to come back and reclaim some kind of fallen status.
Uh-huh.
And then they were saying he's like, that Stone Cold's like a false prophet.
Oh,
like,
sure. Uh-huh.
And how his fans are like gnarly. And
mm-hmm. So
he just attacked. Did the bell even ring? Or
the bell did ring.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And so the rules of this, do you understand the rules?
I don't. Okay.
There you go.
And is that McMahon that was talking?
Yes.
So he knew right when to say that.
Yes. And so he, you can all...
So you do it all until one guy gives up.
Yes. That's exactly it. So a lot of people here.
Definitely. Where is this?
So this is in Chicago.
Chicago.
So it's still like a basketball arena, though. So, somewhere between 15 and 20,000 people, I think, which is now nothing, you know, compared to what they do now.
Sure.
And so, lots of fast-paced brawling around on the floor.
Yeah, they're now outside the gates.
Yeah. Yeah, is that Tony? I think that's Tony Atlas. I never realized that. There was a guy who was a wrestler.
Oh, okay.
Legendary for having a predilection for women stepping on him.
Mm.
And he liked their feet, you know. He liked women to step on him.
Something about a glass table.
No, that's the Boogie Woogie Man.
I don't want to
get...
No, I don't want to.
The Rock and Roll Express. So, we're brawling into the crowd.
Yeah, see how, like, ignorant the crowd is?
Yes, yeah, yeah. It's like, Chicago, though.
They never did that in any of these other ones we've seen.
No.
No one ever looked at the cameras.
No.
In
no.
any of the matches we've seen.
Correct.
Now they're mobbing, like, you can't even see the action.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago, though.
Yeah. But very, very much a product of its time.
Yeah, yeah.
So, late 90s, you know what things were like then.
Yeah,
and this
yeah.
is... And you can always watch, you know, wrestling around this time, and there's always people, you know.
Yeah, yeah, look at me.
Yeah.
So now they're deep into the stands.
Yeah, yeah. We've seen this before, like in the Joshi match.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool.
Yeah, me too.
And I would love it as a fan if I were there.
Yeah. I've been, you know, when I've seen some of it live.
Yeah.
It's very cool. It creates like a real sense of chaos.
Yeah, it's really neat.
Especially if you're doing it with any kind of like purpose or speed.
Yeah, you right. Know?
I do think it's easy to kind of real slow, and a lot of people do just kind of slowly
milk it
and kind of just like wander through the crowd.
Right.
But if you're,
it's cool when like a guy just grabs another guy and drags him through. And,
yeah, like they're doing here.
Yeah.
So it's, you know. And so that's Jerry Lawler.
Okay.
So Vince McMahon and Jerry Lawler, both considered to be terrible, terrible commentators.
But you like them?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course I do.
Now he's thrown Stone Cold back into the gates.
Mm-hmm. Into like the ringside area.
Ringside area,
yeah. Yeah. And so, in terms of, atmosphere. So they're going back and forth here. Brett just went into the steel steps, Jordan.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of mass. You know, like they're pretty like thick guys.
Uh huh.
So it's like they're just throwing their weight at each other.
Uh huh.
And that's cool. Like when he threw them into the stairs.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are pretty big.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
they've been going on the pace. Now yeah. He unclicked the top stairs, and he's Stone Cold's gonna throw him at him, but he fell over.
And so
it'd be hard because you can't. There's no hair to grab onto with
old Stone Cold.
Yeah,
that's true. And so you saw that. Stone Cold's leg, his knee there got clipped.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's got that big brace on it.
Right.
Yeah. And so they're finally back in the ring now. More or less for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, they started brawling and pretty quick.
Right.
Yeah. So far, any comments on Ken Shamrock?
No, I'm excited about his presence, though.
Uh-huh. Does that, like, the idea of a special guest referee, does that do something for you?
Kind of, yeah. I think it gives you another, like, thing to wonder about, another variable.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, me too.
I like the ref as a character.
Yeah, me too.
So, I mean, even when it's just some guy.
Yeah.
I kind of like when he's involved in a deeper role.
Yeah, me too, I guess. Depending.
You don't want it to be too obnoxious.
Yeah, right, yeah. But I don't know. I mean, they can be like a really important storytelling device, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So we've seen, you know, kind of the tides turned now. So we got Bret Hart now.
Yeah.
Working over the knee.
Yes, exactly.
Did you see what he did?
What was he doing?
He's flipping off.
I thought so. I was like, what the heck? Yeah, just to somebody.
Yeah.
So, is this the era when it was like all the really scandalous women and that?
So, we're a year away from that.
Starting to get into there.
Yeah. Year or two. So there was, I just recently watched all of 1996 WWF,
mm-hmm.
And it starts like you can really see the seeds being sown of all that stuff, you know,
mm-hmm.
in 1996. But it really, yeah, year and a half, 2 years, and it's really really firing,
mm-hmm.
you know. On all cylinders as far as that stuff is concerned.
So Hart was trying to work that knee and then he missed.
Mm-hmm.
And so Stone Cold took advantage and now they're both kind of... They're both like... Trying to stay in it.
Yeah. So that was a stunner. A Stone Cold stunner. Yeah.
He doesn't still wrestle. Does he wrestle still?
Stone Cold?
Yeah.
No. He doesn't. He retired in 2003. Mm. So he breaks his neck.
Yo.
Later in this year, 1997, on a pile driver. That doesn't, you know, you're supposed to not actually hit the mat, but right. he does. And so he had neck problems and knee problems, both knees, you know.
Brutal. So now everyone's fired up because he might get Stone Cold to submit. Here.
Yeah. So he's got a figure four around the ring post, which is a wonderful piece of pro wrestling because it doesn't do anything. I like the idea of it being like around a ring post.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
that's cool.
Yeah. That's the best. Like, that's like pure pro wrestling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, and everyone went crazy for it.
Yeah, they did. That's really funny.
Yeah.
It's like a carnival trick.
Yes.
And they're both really foul mouthed, these two.
Yes. I mean, Bret Hart, traditionally not, but you know, he's...
The clips they were showing is him just freaking out.
Well, that was like that was a big deal.
Oh, okay.
It's because, you know, he's come back and, like, the WWF is different now. You know, and so, like, he's getting mad about it.
Got it.
Uh-huh.
So he's got the chair now.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, yes.
Yeah. This is another one.
He clamped the knee with the chair.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
And you can hear everyone going wild.
Yeah.
Ooh.
But it was reversed by Stone Cold.
Yeah. There you go. And so, crowd reaction-wise, who's getting the bigger crowd reactions?
I mean, now that you're saying that, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's got a lot of fans, Stone Cold.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be Hart, but now I'm not so confident that you're asking that. They were really happy when Hart had Stone Cold in that figure four.
Yeah.
The crowd was like, that was the loudest the crowd's been.
Yeah.
But like, they're cheering up this stuff too.
Yeah.
Seems like they just like the big hits and like the big action.
Yeah. So that's Jim Ross. He's the third guy in commentary. Okay. Largely considered to be the best commentator of all time.
Okay, so you got one of the best and then two of the worst.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Jim Ross isn't very good.
You don't like him?
No. So that's one of Bret Hart's daughters. And if you caught... I was probably talking over it, but Jerry Lawler was laughing at her.
Gosh. Dude, who was that?
Jerry Lawler. Break his neck. Who had a feud with Bret a couple years before this.
Okay.
And so ever since then has just, you know, hated.
That's cool.
Hated all the Harts. And he's from, Bret Hart is from a real famous wrestling family.
Okay, who's this?
That's his father.
Okay.
Stu Hart, who's like a total legend.
Okay. He was like critically watching the match.
Yeah. So he's this legend in Calgary. A legendary trainer. He had this thing called the Dungeon, the Hart Dungeon.
Okay.
And he's like a legit wrestler, you know? So
yeah,
he would
yeah.
bring guys down and just like destroy them.
Oh.
And there's audio that you can find of him, you know, quote unquote training people, but it's just people screaming.
Oh.
And like, you know, whatever little cousins or brothers and sisters like laughing at the guys, you know.
Oh.
It's There's 12 Hart children.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's 12. 9 or 12, something like that. And so here you go. That's the sharpshooter. That's Bret Hart's move.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so we've seen kind of Stone Cold making a comeback, you know.
Yeah, yeah, he's making some real moves.
Yeah. So what do you think?
But like these hits are really lame.
Yes.
There's just a lot of jumping and motion, like that even a casual viewer.
Yes. Terrible punches.
Okay. Yeah. Right? Is that right?
Yeah. No one in the WWF has good punches.
Okay.
Like ever.
Okay, because it was like, so they're all booing him. He was just taunting the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's like noticeably different than these other matches we've been watching.
Yeah. It's terrible. So Stone Cold went into the announce table there. Jim Ross fell over, if you saw. Or maybe that wasn't. Maybe that was someone else. I thought that was Jim Ross. Maybe it wasn't.
Lawler is the Andy Kaufman guy.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Memphis Wrestling.
Memphis Wrestling. Yeah, that's cool. Yes. Okay, now there's blood.
Yes. So Austin is bleeding. Yeah, and Jerry Lawler, he has a case for being the greatest wrestler of all time. And talking about punches, he's also like one of the best punchers of all time.
Like, is John Cena a terrible puncher?
Yeah, yes, yes, yes. Terrible, terrible, terrible. John Cena, like, everything he does looks like, really bad.
Yeah, but he's wildly popular.
Yeah, yeah. But that's the thing about WWF is none of that matters.
Yeah.
You know, like the, you know, the actual wrestling largely does not matter.
Yeah.
I mean, at least historically.
Yeah.
Oh, so he's bleeding pretty good now.
He really is, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's Hart has like a real second wind right now.
Yeah.
Now he's working that head wound.
Yes. That's one of my favorite things, you know, in wrestling. When someone gets a cut and they go after
it. They just go on it. Yeah.
So, reaction-wise, what are you thinking right now?
For the crowd?
Yeah.
They like him.
Bret Hart?
Yeah. But, I mean, Austin has, like, this pretty unbelievable fan base.
Yeah. Yeah, so in terms of, like tactics and wrestling style, what are you thinking about?
It seems pretty brash.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't know, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of finesse to it, really.
Uh-huh.
Like, maybe akin to, or in contrast of, especially the last couple, like the Japanese matches we watched.
Right. Yeah.
There seemed to be a lot more. I'm not saying there's no chemistry here, but it just seems like a little clumsier, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, when you say clumsy, do you mean like they're like having miscommunication?
That's kind of like, I don't know. I can only guess, but that's, in my ignorance, that's kind of what it feels like.
Is it that, or is it more like there's less wrestling moves and more just kind of like tumbling around and rough brawling type of thing.
Sometimes it seems like, yeah, I mean, first of all, it seems more like a brawl.
Yeah.
But it seems also like there doesn't, I don't know, I can't really explain it other than, does it feel like they're working as in harmony as like some of the other,
okay,
I don't know. Did he just flip them off like while he's bashing his head in?
Yeah. So we, Stone Cold has got his second wind here.
Yeah. But like it suits the, at least the Steve Austin character to be more like a street brawler, right?
Right. Yes.
That's like his character, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the impression. I've never seen him wrestle, so
yeah,
that's the impression I would get.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of like a bouncer at a bar or something.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty gnarly looking now.
Yeah.
Steve Austin.
Yeah. Very, very bloody. And you heard McMahon say, oh, it's unfortunate. This does not happen very often. Because it was banned at the time. They weren't allowed to do that.
Oh, why is that? Wait, is that like kayfabe or is it
no,
like...
No. They weren't allowed to cut themselves. And that it was like TV things and like...
I got it.
You know, policy... Just like company policy at the time.
Dude, he's Stone Cold stringing him up.
With a like a TV cable.
Dude, yeah, like a mic cord or something.
That's crazy. Brett had the ring bell, though.
That was cool.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like general sentiment at the time was such that like that was pretty frowned upon.
Got it.
And this is coming off like Vince McMahon's like legal issues, like with steroid stuff and all that. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Now he's starting to do his. Is this a signature move?
Yeah,
his,
or that's like his finisher.
Because everyone's sort of starting to go now.
Yeah.
The sick fitted referee uniform.
Yeah. For Ken Shamrock. Yeah. Yeah, bicycle shorts and a sleeveless spandex thing. Yeah. It's tremendous. As you can see the blood dripping.
Yeah, it's really going.
Yeah.
Now it looks like he's like losing consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Look at that.
Ugh.
Listen to the crowd, too.
Yeah, the crowd is really going.
So, Brett, he's still got the hold on.
Yeah, it looked like he was going to lose that.
So there you go.
So does he lose the match?
Yes. He passed out. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. So he didn't give up, but...
So he kind of keeps the pride aspect.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So it's a little bit like the Magnum Tully match.
Yeah.
Tully never said, I quit, but the ref said, do you quit or do you give up? And he goes, yeah. So it's, they get like, they're able to keep that little bit of
pride.
Yeah.
Okay.
So. Do you know how much I love Jerry Lawler?
I'm sure you're thrilled by him.
Unbelievable. He really is like... So I may have told you this before, but there's some of the... And I'm watching, like, that's all I'm watching right now, more or less. It's just Memphis wrestling.
Okay.
But I've seen all the 1990 Memphis wrestling stuff, and he's a bad guy at that time.
Mm.
And he does these segments. Okay, hold on.
Wait. Dude, he's going on Steve Austin even though he's already down and it's over.
Yeah.
And now you got Shamrock is coming in.
Yeah. Yeah, so Shamrock gave him, you know, a wrestling type throw.
Yeah, and then he's like, come on, let's go.
Yeah. So Brett's leaving the ring now.
But that kind of sets up some more storyline.
The other crowd's booing him now.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, there they go. A lot of birds in that building.
Yeah, a lot of birds in that building.
And so we'll slowly fade out at this point. Oh, look at this.
Oh,
stunner.
Why would he do that?
He's stone cold, man.
That was stone cold. Stone and it was cold. A different ref, right?
Yes.
This poor Joe regular ref.
Yeah. Yeah, not even Ken Shamrock. So I should have kept it up so you could hear the reaction now. Oh well.
Him just laying out the ref before he leaves.
Yeah. Which, you know, years so later, he would just, you know, show up and stunner everyone in the ring, and everyone just loses their mind. And that's like all, you know, that's all the show is.
Yeah.
It's him in like, 5 different segments of the TV show. Just giving everyone a stutter. And just everyone just losing their minds.
Yeah.
So.
Hey there. AEW superstar Wardlow here with just a quick announcement about everything that we have going on over at the Place to Be Nation and all the great content that you can find across our 2 wonderful podcast feeds. On the PTB and Wrestling feed, we have plenty of great content, including the Place to Be Nation podcast, the mothership of PTBN, where co-hosts JT Rosero and Scott Criscolo take you chronologically through the history of WWE. PTBN Main Event with hosts Scott Criscolo, Nate Melton, and Steve Willey breaking down all of the current events in the world of wrestling. The Wrestling War Zone, a podcast retrospective reliving the iconic Monday Night Wars, brought to you by JT Rosero and Chad Campbell. Row 1, Seat 1, an interesting look inside the world of small town wrestling and beyond, with host Ben Zanny welcoming a variety of guests each week. Talkin' WCW heads to Center Stage Theater, where Tim Capel, Greg Phillips, and Jennifer Smith pay tribute to the legendary promotion from the Dirty South. The Extreme Three-Way Dance takes you back on a trek through the land of extreme with JT Rosero, John D'Amato, and Jennifer Smith. Body Press Your Luck, a brand new wrestling game show hosted by JT Rosero and Jordan Duncan. With This Ring, in which a husband and wife combo, Ryan and Cindy Everett discuss their specific matches and their respective fandoms. You Don't Know Billy Jack, where Drew Wardlaw and his friend Jordan watch and discuss some of the greatest pro wrestling matches of all time through the eyes of a non-wrestling fan in search of a universal connection in pro wrestling storytelling. Now, how's that for a long-winded show description? Anyways, plus we have monthly pay-per-view reaction shows and semi-regular shows like Jenny and the Gems, No Holds Barred, PTB NXT, Adam's Division, Special Relations, and Jeff Learns Wrestling. Also, be sure to check out PTBN Pop Feed, littered with great content, offering tremendous shows like The Hard Traveling Fanboys, The Year in Pop, Laugh In Theater, DC For You, Marvel Age, The Brother and Sister Rewatch Podcast, and so much more. So subscribe today. And hey, while you're at it, subscribe to Jennifer Smith's The Jenny Position feed as well, as it is the new home of Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Drive-In, Telling Stories, MCU Journey the Infinity, and more. Also, on our social media pages, the greatest sitcom of all time tournament is now underway. We are in round one still. There will be four matchups per day, so make sure to like our tournament page on Facebook and follow us on Twitter so you don't miss a single one. And we have officially kicked off our 2020 stretch project determining the greatest WCW match ever. You have all year to do research, promote your matches, and build your list. Conversation and rules can be found at www.facebook.com/GCWCW matches or on the Pro Wrestling Only message board. Be sure not to forget to check out placetobenation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles on topics in the worlds of wrestling, sports, pop culture, and beyond, including Trent's SmackDown on Fox Report, This Week in the WWE by John Crow, Paulie's Perspective, Jason's DVD Deep Dive, and Ben's Unpopular Opinion. And don't forget about veteran columns like Glenn Butler's Weekly Walk Around the Web. And if you're doing shopping online over at Amazon.com, please be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the PTBN Place to Be Nation homepage, or use www.placetobenation.com/Amazon, and it takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with absolutely no cost to you. Hey, can't beat that. Whew. Now that's all. Thank you for listening, and back to the show.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation Pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our previous podcasts over the past 8 years, as well by subscribing to our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available at PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using www.placetobenation.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping. And be sure to join us at our forum at Bigelow34.proboards.com for all sorts of wrestling, sports, and pop culture discussion each and every day, where you can make your voice heard. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
I mean, there were two little spoiler or like little after credit scenes that just happened.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. I liked Ken Shamrock there.
Yeah.
He didn't do anything. Look at the blood in the ring.
Yeah, that's.
He didn't do anything during the match, you know, because usually that's like well, especially now, it's such a big tell that, like, okay, there's a special ref. That means they're going to cost someone the match.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's okay.
That's kind of what I was waiting for.
Sure, yeah, yeah. But it's a good little kind of red herring.
Yeah, that was cool. And then he served his purpose afterwards.
Yeah. And especially because it's WrestleMania. They've got a big MMA, you know, big UFC star in there. It really adds to the feel a lot. So Jerry Lawler in, like, this 1990 stuff. He's done so much awesome, crazy stuff. But he was a bad guy, and he would do these segments where, like there's one where he's sitting at a desk dressed as a doctor, like in a lab coat.
Okay.
Saying that he's going to, he's going to test the urine of all these big wrestling stars to see if they're on steroids or not.
That's cool.
He has this machine that he, like, invented or something. And then
that's so cool.
There's another one where it's essentially he's in, like, the TV studio where they have the matches. He's in it for the whole show trying to order furniture, like, get furniture delivered. And it takes up, like, the whole show.
You sound like you're kind of gimmicks.
I mean, yes. Yeah. It's purely, like, from my mind, you know?
Yeah, totally.
And, like he'll order food on the air, and, like, dude. There's a guy, Nate the Rat,
okay.
That he makes go get in the food. But then, of course, he throws the food at Nate the Rat. Just, like, absurd
food-based
stuff.
Gimmicks that
I mean,
love.
That's what I live for. Okay, so, anyways, what'd you think of that? Let's get right into our questions here.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, general thoughts.
I know
on the
match. Probably makes me just the biggest, like, mark or whatever, but I thought it was pretty good.
Uh huh.
I mean, it was not, like I said, it felt kind of brutish.
Uh huh.
Like, I don't know if it was like the wrestling was. I don't know. Maybe it was, but I was entertained the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, so this is WrestleMania, biggest show of the year, biggest, like, spectacle type.
Dude,
you know.
I'm sorry, you're going to have to turn this off, because it looks like the guy ripped out a parking sign from the parking lot and brought it into the...
Yes, the Nation of Domination.
Okay.
So, yeah, this is, like, this is the Black Power faction.
I was gonna say this is like Nation of Islam exploitation.
Yeah,
the guy with the shaved head and the, you know, the three piece suit and
yes,
the,
oh. Yeah. crass. It is crass, and they're the bad guys, of course. So we'll
turn this off. Yeah,
very really, very crass.
Yeah.
So. What did, like, did you, so it was like a brawl, you know, like you said. Did it feel like really hard-hitting or really intense or, I mean, what resonated with you as a brawl?
Yeah, it just seemed like, it just seemed really reckless.
Yeah.
And it seemed like they were throwing, like, the moves were done with a lot of force.
Yeah.
So, you could tell, like I said, it didn't seem like there was as much finesse as there was in these other matches we've been watching.
Mm-hmm.
But you could tell they were kind of putting a lot into it, and they were both pretty, like, big, muscly guys.
Yeah.
So, I liked that, and then I liked the venues, you know, they went out into the crowd. They went deep into the crowd. They went to the, like, out right outside the ringside, then just in the ringside, and they kind of took the thing everywhere.
Yeah.
They didn't keep it. There wasn't, like, a lull, you know?
Yes.
Even though they weren't, like, running the whole time, it didn't feel, because, like, you know, by the end they were both kind of lying there, but it never felt like just over the top, like, dragged out. Like, okay.
Yeah.
They were kind of going the whole time.
Yeah.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. What was the story of the match in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like, you know, Steve Austin was the bad guy, and he's kind of like, kind of taking over this world or something, and the other guy's trying to come back and, like, and overthrow him.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's... And then they said stuff kind of about how what did he leave the company for a while, or did he... Was that real, or...
He took a break. He went and, like, filmed some TV stuff, and he was, like, his contract and stuff was really in flux.
And that's real?
Yes, that's real.
And then, so, like, was this his first match back from that?
No.
Okay.
No, it had been a few, but his first match back was against Steve Austin in another, you know, great match. Not quite the, like, spectacle and all-timer that this is, but an awesome match.
Yeah, it felt like a good grudge match.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But I mean, there's elements of kind of Bret Hart's real feelings. Is like, oh, you know, it's changed. Because he was, like, the top guy for a little while, you know, for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, things are changing now. And Steve Austin is a bad guy, but he's really, really popular, especially around this time.
Yeah.
And he's been gaining
popularity. Yeah, he's super popular. I mean, that's why it was kind of funny when you asked me about, like, well, what's the crowd doing? It's like, I don't know, because you could tell a lot of people really like him.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it sounded more like they were just being good fans following the storyline, in a sense, you know, to cheer for the good guy.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, a lot of people really like Steve Austin.
Yeah, so the reason I wanted to ask you about the crowd, and I didn't want you to specifically, I didn't want to point out, like, hey, you need to be paying attention to the crowd.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to gauge what you were able to pick up on, because one of the famous things about this match is that, you know how someone will turn good or turn bad, turn face or turn heel.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the famous things about this match is that really it's a very rare example where both guys flip.
Huh.
And Steve Austin, like I said, for the past 8 months, 8 to 10 months, he had really been gaining a lot of momentum as a bad guy, but, like, this really cool, like, badass.
Right.
You know, and you could tell that.
Yeah.
And Bret Hart, on the other hand, had... So he was, like, you know, a typical good guy wrestler.
Yeah.
But as, like, the company's changing and the culture is changing as well, people are liking that less.
Sure.
And they're more interested in, like, you know, the shades of gray type thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, people with an... guys with an edge and all that.
Yeah. That was the height of postmodernism.
Sure, yeah. So, you know, Bret Hart is kind of finding himself in the middle of that. And is, like, his interviews, and we saw it, you know, he was, like, getting more angry and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and then he goes for the dirty kicks at the end.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So
and the crowd's like, no, they don't like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is one of the kind of real rare examples where both guys kind of turn in the
match. It's like a role reversal.
Yeah. And so from this point forward, Bret Hart is a heel.
Got it.
And Stone Cold is a good guy technically, but, you know, he still
does his little shenanigans.
Sure, yeah.
Well, we heard that every man ref.
Yeah, but they love that.
But they people love cheer.
That. Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to see how much of that you were able to pick up on. When you watch it, it's not super clear, especially just by crowd reaction. You can tell that both guys are real popular, but...
I mean, you can just tell he's got a really strong fan base.
Yes.
And then by the end, I mean, he gives it to you by doing those dirty kicks at the end, but you can tell he's, like, turning into something.
Yeah.
The heart is turning into something.
Yeah.
Different.
Yeah. But were you able to pick up on a lot of stuff because of the video that they showed at the beginning?
Yeah, that definitely helps.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think I would have roughly gotten the sense of that without it.
Uh-huh.
Mainly because of how negative, like, Steve Austin was being.
Uh-huh.
So it's like he's an obvious, like, villain or whatever.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
By how he's, like, performing. And,
yeah.
You know, so it's like, oh, the other guy must be the good guy.
Right. Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things about WWF is, like, real, real simple to follow. Like, they really lay everything out for
you. Yeah, definitely. You know?
So can you see why this is considered to be one of the greatest matches of all time?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was, you know, everything. If you're not going to go from, like, a more of a, what I would consider, I guess, in this narrow scope of what I've seen, a pure wrestling or, oh, were these guys, like, really working together and did this make me feel this way or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this would be the, like, the healthy alternative to that.
Uh-huh.
You know, because, like I said, it didn't feel to me like they were as in sync, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But they were going hard, and
yeah,
they obviously, like, whether I felt that or not, they obviously, like, had an idea of what they wanted, and it was well executed, because the outcome was, like, you could tell was the desired outcome.
Yeah.
And the crowd, you know, reacted how they, I'm sure they wanted them to.
Yeah.
So it was, yeah, I mean, it was, I could see that for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, so this match, its reputation, so this is one that the WWF or WWE, this is one of their matches. Like the Savage Steamboat match, this is one that they really push as the greatest of all time.
Hmm.
Like, that's really part of their narrative.
Hmm.
That, you know, this is, so there's something called a WrestleMania moment.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard that term before?
You've said that before, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so,
like, they want to make sure that there's one every time.
Yes, and they want something that they can capture and they can show in video packages from here to eternity.
Sure.
You know? Yeah. And so they got it with this. When Austin is on the ground, like, screaming with the blood,
yes,
in his face, you know, they show that. I mean, no joke. From here, from 1997 to 2019.
I feel like I've seen that.
I'm sure you have.
Like, or at least a still of that.
Yeah, I guarantee you have.
Yeah.
So it's like that, it has that aspect, you know, but this is one that they really push.
Got it.
This is a rare example where I think everything they have to say about it and all the pushing that they do and all the hyping they do totally lives up to, you know, their hype.
To their own.
Yeah.
Like myth.
Yeah. I think this is, like, the best WWF match ever.
Hmm.
I think it's, like, incredible. Because it does everything that I think a WWF match should be, which is huge. Like, it feels like a big match.
Mm-hmm.
The crowd is going crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a spectacle, you know?
Right.
It's not, and that's like, this was like a big match in terms of all the movements were big and all the shifts were big and, you know, the momentum and the move, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? The punches were big looking punches and the
yeah
suplexes were really big, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it has
a lot of force.
Yeah. It has that total intangible quality to it. Like I said, where the crowd is big and there's like mm-hmm. this atmosphere, they got the WrestleMania moment, but it captures all of that, but it also transcends that to me, where, like, if you're looking at the story and the way the guys are working, it can hold up in, like, any promotion. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of the things about WWF is that a lot of the stuff only works within a WWF context.
Yeah.
Because it's so bizarre and it's so different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Which is something its own world.
Yeah, yeah. Which is, like, I've kind of been thinking about this a lot lately, which is, like, if you were to look at wrestling in the early to mid 80s, you know, where there's a bunch of different territories, like we talked
yeah,
about.
Yeah, yeah.
You could look at, like, a southern territory, like, you know, the NWA or Jim Crockett Promotions.
Mm-hmm.
And you could look at Portland wrestling or the AWA, where the Nick Bockwinkel match mm-hmm. was. And, like, those are comparable. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even in some regards, some of the Japanese stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of comparable. Would you agree with
that?
Yeah,
I would agree with
like
that.
Like the Nick Bockwinkel match and the Jumbo Tsuruta match.
Yeah, yeah.
You could draw a line to of something.
Yeah, for sure.
The Steamboat Randy Savage match. No way.
That's so different. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, that's true.
So what's strange is that the WWE style and everything about it is so bizarre and weird compared to everything else in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
But that became, and that is the dominant force and the dominant company. And the only, you know, for the past 18 years, the only American company that matters. You know what I mean? So, like, that is the standard. But it's so different than what wrestling actually is.
So it has something that appeals to more people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so anyways, the Steamboat versus Savage match.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, like they could have had that exact same match in, if they were to take that match and do it on a Jim Crockett Promotions TV show or something, or if that same match were to happen like with different guys, it would be like, oh yeah, it's pretty good, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's something, because like there's the intangible aspect of like, well, it's Ricky Steamboat and it's Randy Savage, and the way they do
the
things
is, and everything,
yeah, and they're so good at what they do that they can elevate something. But really, that's a match that only works in the context of WrestleMania 3.
Yeah, yeah.
And because, like, there weren't, at the time, that many kind of matches like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it really stands out as this tremendous thing and all that. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right.
Something like Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant, which we didn't watch, but that's an incredible match. I love that. I think that's one of like the best matches of all time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think it is, but.
But it's not regarded that way, really.
No. But because they don't, it's all they're doing. They barely do anything. They're just just milking the crowd.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's incredible. It's perfect. It's like everything they do is so huge and perfect. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're looking for like a wrestling match, though,
it's not gonna make it.
No.
Like, what did Hulk think of this match?
he probably has not seen this match.
Like, what about, like, Misawa?
Hulk Hogan, what would he think
of Misawa? No, like, what would Misawa think of this match?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I would think that, like, to me, this is a match that transcends everything.
Could he sit there and be like, okay, yeah, that was good.
Yeah, I think so. You know, obviously not knowing him or the...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but, like... I think this is one that anyone can think is a good match on, like, any level. Like, it's pretty hard to argue against this match as, mm-hmm. like, at least really great, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
If not, you know, one of the very top all-timers.
Sure.
I think this is, like, a perfect match.
Yeah, right.
Because, like I said, it's like, if, you know, if you put that anywhere else, it would be a great match.
Mm-hmm.
But you have it on WrestleMania and you have it in that specific arena with those two guys, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like, oh yeah, I love it. I really, really love it. You have the blood too, you know?
Yeah,
which was so rare at that time,
right?
Yeah, just everything about it. And you have Ken Shamrock there, which adds another element.
You hear all that
thunder?
Yeah, it's pretty heavy.
It's pretty great.
Yeah, I agree.
So, our last question, we're going to rank our matches here, and I'm going to go first, because I always go second, and I just end up copying you.
For some inexplicable reason.
I want you, it's like, what's your favorite movie?
Mine too.
Oh yeah, mine too. I don't like that movie either. That's what I am with every aspect of my life, as you know.
Yeah, right.
I love impending doom.
Yeah, right.
I love him.
I see you tomorrow. You got this hair. And...
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. So I'm going to do my rankings first, okay? Okay.
God help you.
Yeah. Who knows? And I'm not even going to, like, be able to tell what yours were.
Yeah.
So, sorry. So I'm going to go Magnum Tully number 1, Flair Steamboat number 2, 6995 number 3 for this time. But, I mean, you know, I'm going to do, what else? Right now, Brett Austin number 4, Sangre Chicana MS Uno number 5. I'm going to do War Games 92, The Great Lost Episode, number 6. We'll say 6394, number 7. This is where it gets real hairy. Dream Slam number 8, Bach Hennig 9, New Japan Gauntlet number 10, Tenryu Jumbo number 11, $120.97, the match we watched last week, that number 12. And Macho Man Steamboat number 13. Yeah, okay. Do you want to look here?
Yeah, so you're going to have to help me. Do you have any idea of my...
I mean, I think they were situation. There, but I...
yeah.
I crossed them out so you can't see.
No, that's fine. Hey, you're going to... You'll help me.
Yes.
So... Magnum Tully is still the first one for me.
Mm-hmm.
What did I have after that? Do you remember? 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 13, 14.
I missed something again. Oh, Dream Rush Tag. Gosh, I'm so stupid.
No.
Stupid. I'm going to say Dream Rush Tag 11, actually, right now. That match is awesome, though. Jumbo Tenryu, number 12. No, number 13. What? I don't know how to... That's not right. Look, I just ruined it again.
You...
This is unbelievable. I can't... Dream Rush... Number 11. Tenryu Jumbo, number 12. 120.97, number 13. Macho Man Steamboat, number 14, okay? That's what I'm going with. So your second one, Jordan, was the 6995, that tag match.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still number 2?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm probably putting this one at 3.
Okay.
Because I'm thinking... Yeah, and then I'm probably... gonna be... Bach Hennig, number 4.
Yeah, you really liked that one.
Yeah, surprisingly.
Yeah. That's like the most like straight match, probably.
Yeah, must have had something there.
Yeah.
That's
awesome, that's why.
Yeah. And then, which is the girl one of the dream ones?
The Dream Slam is the singles match.
The singles match. I do that one next.
Number 5?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then it gets a little hard for me from there. I know the kind of the middle of my list is mostly Japanese.
Do you just want to do just a top five from here on out? Would that be easier?
Probably be easier.
Let's just do that.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's just do that. Because okay. Otherwise it gets... Yeah, because it's like, how much do you really remember the Sangre Chicana?
It's kind of... Yeah. I mean, yeah. That. The only thing... Maybe next week we can have like another approach to it, but it is kind of interesting when we work off memory because it's wrong and like,
yeah,
there's something that to be said about it.
Yeah.
And for a while there, it was kind of funny to see our lists, what was different about them.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Because there were, for a while there, we had our tops and like our bottom were pretty similar.
But yeah.
Anyway, yeah. But yeah, I think, I mean, the five is probably the most important.
Yeah. Okay. So. Good. Well, that's all.
Is anyone still there?
No. No, the answer is certainly no. Yeah, so to date, no feedback. No feedback on any of the shows. No one cares.
Mm. Come on, people. If you're hearing this.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. So, any plugs? What's your wife's maiden name?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, what's her social security number?
Yeah, don't be rude. Just yeah, give me her something. Social security.
Her hair color. What patterns are her, her fingerprints? Dental records. You know, give me something. Blood type.
Maybe I'll have something next time.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, just something.
Oh, but I have some good news. I've put some extra eyes out for the end Beanie Babies.
Wonderful news.
So I got my best people on it.
All right.
We'll see. Open them up. Open those floodgates.
Please. Rain down on me.
Yeah, do you have any plugs?
I do not. No, I do not. Okay. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
We love you.
So long. Everything that's wonderful is sure to come your way when you're in love to stay. Sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. Everything that's wonderful is what I feel. Oh, and we're together brighter than a lucky penny. When you're near, the rain goes, disappears near.